The following audio is presented by Grace Church. For more about us, visit discovergrace.com, or you can download our free app by searching Grace Church Orlando on your phone or tablet. Now, we hope you enjoy the message.
As Ricky already said, we're continuing through our series in Philippians about how to love yourself. And when I think about like self-help and I think about self-help books, one of the biggest topics has got to be anxiety. And that's what we're going to be talking about today, anxiety. So if you have a Bible, turn to Philippians chapter 4. This is where we're going to be today. If you don't have a Bible, there should be some paper Bibles on your row, either at the front or middle or end, whatever. They're on your row, all right? You can find them there. You can turn to page 842, and we're going to be following along there. But before we jump into that, what everyday things make you feel anxious, right? Like what everyday things? Everybody experiences anxiety, and there's little things that cause anxiety in us. Like when we look at our phone and all of a sudden we see that our battery's down to 1%. Anybody else? You feel that anxiety rise up in you? I don't know why, but I do. Or anytime, it doesn't matter, day or night, if a cop gets behind me in traffic. It doesn't matter. It does not matter why they're behind me. Immediately, I'm like, do I have drugs in my trunk? And I never do, but immediately I have that thought. Or like when you go down a long hallway and you see somebody else coming your way, you get anxious because you're like, when do I say hi? You know what I mean? Like, when do we nod at each other? Because if it's too far away, you have to yell at each other awkwardly, how are you? You know what I mean? But if it's too close, then it's weird because you're like whispering in their ear as they walk by you. You know what I mean? And so there's different things in our life that give us anxiety. But anxiety, those are funny issues, but anxiety is honestly no joke. And so a definition of anxiety we see here is a feeling of worry, nervousness, or unease, typically about an imminent event or something with an uncertain outcome. And the reality is, like, anxiety is it's a big, big deal for us. I mean, think about what it does to you physically. Like, there's 40 million adults, by the way, in America that suffer from anxiety. And think about what it does. Like, our heart races, we sweat, it really messes with our bodies. But then, like, cognitively, like, thinking about the way you think, like, your brain becomes overwhelmed. Maybe it starts racing and you just start thinking about the worst what-ifs possible. And anxiety is a real problem in our culture, and it's a real problem we all deal with, right? And so my question is, have you felt this recently? Have you dealt with anxiety recently? Have you felt that in your families? Have you felt that in your friend groups? Have you felt that at work? Have you felt that about your finances? Like, have you felt anxiety recently? Because what the Word of God says to us today and what we're looking at today is pretty shocking. It says here in verse 6 of Philippians 4, where you turned, do not be anxious about anything. Don't be anxious about anything. How in the world can God say that to us? And here's why. Because God's desire for you is not anxiety. God's desire for you is peace. If you keep reading, look at verse 7. It says this, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. God wants to give you peace. He doesn't want us to feel anxiety. He doesn't want us to be overwhelmed. He's trying to gift you peace. And we see Jesus said the same thing in John 14, 27. Let me read it to you. He says to his disciples, peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and don't be afraid. He's saying, I want to give you peace. Like, that's what I want for you. I don't want you to be anxious. I don't want you to be overwhelmed. I want you to be at peace, and that's what I'm gifting you. And his peace goes to work for us. Look at what it says. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. What does that mean? That means that anxiety is attacking our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Just think about it. Think about your hearts. What does that represent? That represents your feelings and your emotions. Doesn't when you feel anxious, when anxiety creeps up in your life, what does that do to your feelings? What does that do to your emotions, right? What does that do? You feel worry. You feel unease. You feel nervous. You feel overwhelmed. And then it also guards your mind. What is that about? That's about what we think, right? Why? Because anxiety creeps in and all of a sudden we're unfocused and our brain starts like racing and we start to imagine just the worst case scenarios. Just to give you an example, I think one of the things that's one of the biggest anxiety inducers in all of our lives is probably money. It's probably money, right? Because it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you have a little, if you have a lot. There's something about money. There's something that seems to be about the way we deal with it that makes us uncomfortable. There's something about the way we deal with it that that gives us anxiety at times. And so to give you an example, my wife pays our bills. When we first got married, like one of the things that you try to figure out when you get married is like, what are your strengths? And I found out one of my strengths is just being incredibly stubborn, because one of my weaknesses was handling money. But for the first, I don't know how many years of our marriage, I did it. Because I always did it, right? Like, I always handled my own finances, and that always went real good. So, you know what I mean? Like, I can handle our joint finances, and I did a terrible job. I cannot tell you how many times, like, the water company would, like, show up at our house, and they'd be like, hey, we're going to turn it off if you don't pay us right now. And I'm like, oh, yeah, thanks for the reminder. Here you go. You know, like, I just didn't pay the bills. You know what I mean? I'd be like, I'll do... That will pay itself at some point. Like, I just did. I was terrible at it. So now she does it, and it is so much better, right? Because literally, I just go, can I buy this thing? And she's like, yes or no. And I'm like, okay. And I just walk away. I don't have to think about it. It's awesome, right? But, like, there's a debt we're trying to pay down right now. And the thing is, like, I don't even like to look at it. Because I don't look at any bills. I don't look at any of that. Like, anytime a bill comes in, I'm like, Angela, you got mail. Like, I just don't deal with any of that. But recently I had to log in and I had to look at this balance of this debt we're trying to pay down. And anxiety hit, man. Like, anxiety attacked my heart and my mind. Like, it attacked my emotions. Like, immediately I felt fearful. I felt uneasy. I started to worry. And it attacked my mind. Like, immediately I had the biggest, worst what-ifs, like, running through my brain. What if we can't pay this down? What if we have another expense crop up and the interest continues to build on this, and you know, and then my kids think I'm a failure. Well, I don't know why it got there, but you know what I mean. Like, I just, all these what ifs, because that's what anxiety does. It attacks our hearts. It attacks our minds. But Paul is saying, no. God's peace is going to guard your emotions and it's going to guard your thoughts. Well, why? Like, how? Like, why does God's peace work? Like, why in the world does it have any power over the things in our lives that cause us to have anxiety? Well, if you look back at verse 6, it says, don't be anxious about anything. But if you look in your scriptures there, that's not where the sentence starts, right? The sentence actually starts at the end of verse 5, and it says this, the Lord is at hand. The Lord is at hand. And so what he's telling us, the reason why God's peace works when dealing with our anxiety is because God himself is the remedy for our anxiety. God himself is the remedy for our anxiety. That's why his peace works, because it's him that we're after. It's him that's going to deal with the anxiety in our life. It's him that's going to relieve the anxiety in our life. I want you to go back to the definition of anxiety real quick. It says a feeling of worry, nervousness, or unease, typically about one, an imminent event, or two, something with an uncertain outcome. And I think the presence of God in our life, being close to God in those moments, is the answer to both of those, to an imminent event that we worry about, or to something with an uncertain outcome that we worry about. I want to prove it to you, talking about an imminent event. And an imminent event is something that you're dreading. It's not uncertain. You know it's coming and you know it sucks. Like, it is imminent, right? You know it's going to happen and you don't want to face it. That's what it's talking about. When you feel anxious about that, you're looking forward to it, or you're seeing it ahead in your calendar and you're going, I don't want to do this. And so maybe it's something you don't want to do. Like, I was talking to a friend of mine and we were talking about our summer vacations, because apparently we're back in school again. Isn't that what you do in school, right? Where are you going on vacation? But we're talking about our summer vacations and our plans, and he was talking to me about this place he was going to go, and he was describing to me, and it was beautiful. I was going to some, like, island somewhere, and he was just talking about how beautiful it is. I was like, that's amazing. And he goes, I don't want to go. And I said, why? And he goes, because I'm not going alone. I was like, oh, who are you going with? He goes, my in-laws. And I went, oh, cool. So he's like going to an island with his in-laws. You know what that means? You can't get off an island. You know what I mean? Like, you can run away, and guess what? You'll end up right behind them. You know what I mean? Which might be his plan to get behind. But anyway, he's feeling anxious. Why? Because it's something he doesn't want to do. And maybe you have that too. You have imminent events in front of you, and there are things you don't want to do. Maybe it's a project at work or something you have to do in your family or whatever it is, but you don't want to do it. And maybe the imminent event is something, somewhere you don't want to go. Maybe it's not something you want to do. Maybe it's somewhere you don't want to go. Recently, just this past week, my kids do gymnastics at Gymnastics USA on 50. And if you've never been in the building, count your blessings, all right? And so recently, my wife made me take them to gymnastics. And when I say made me, I mean it was like she deals with our kids every single morning, dragging them out to school. Like, she's literally dragging me to the door, and she's like, put your shoes on. And I'm like, I don't want to go. But she's like making me take the kids to Gymnastics USA, and I do not want to go there. It is the worst. Like, first of all, it's incredibly loud. It's just a big old warehouse-type building, and it is just hundreds of kids in leotards, and they're, like, screaming, and they're jumping off of things, and it is the absolute worst. And I don't do well with the loud noise, and so I hate that. And then, two, the classes are moving around. You can't even see your own kids. You have to stay behind a little fence, which is awesome, and you stay behind. Literally, it's a fence for parents that they put you in, and you have to watch your kids. You can't even see them. You see these other kids, and let's just be honest. None of them are Olympians. And so, like, you don't, like, it's not even impressive to look at. And then I had to bring my four-year-old. He can't do any of it. And so he's on my phone. So I don't even have a phone to play on. So I have nothing to do. I just can, all I have to do is just over, like eavesdrop on these, like, gymnastic moms conversations. But on the bright side, I know Kelly Ripa hates The Bachelorette now. And, like, I didn't know that before, but I know it now, you know? And I hate it. And I hate going there. And if she were to tell me today, if she were to say, hey, this week I need you to take the kids to gymnastics, that is an imminent event where I would feel incredible anxiety, right? So maybe it's somewhere you don't want to go. Maybe it's someone you don't want to see. Like, show of hands real quick, has anybody gone to their high school reunion? Has anybody gone to an actual high school reunion? What is wrong with you people? Like, I don't get it. Like, I don't know. Maybe you were super cool, all right? You wore jean jackets and popped the collar. I don't know. Like, maybe you drove a Trans Am. Like, I don't want to go back. I do not want to go back. We're fast approaching our 20-year, and I have no intention to go back. Do you know why? Because when I was in high school, I was a little awkward-looking and, like, unsocially awkward. And guess what? 20 years later, still am. Like, there's no reason for me to go back and be like, hey, remember how you didn't like me then? I bet you won't like me now. Like, I'm not doing that to myself. So maybe it's something you don't want to see, but the reality is, like, an imminent event is something that causes us anxiety because we look at it and all signs point to awful. Like, we look at it and we go, this is going to be terrible. But check this out, 2 Corinthians 5:7. We walk by faith, not by sight. And so when you think about an imminent event, you think that this is going to be a huge waste of my time. This is gonna be so terrible for me. This isn't gonna be helpful for me at all. The question I want to ask you is that faith talking or is that sight talking? Because sight might be telling you it's gonna be tough. Sight might be telling you this is not gonna be worth your time. This is not gonna be helpful to you at all. But we don't walk by sight. We walk by faith. And what the scriptures tell us here in Philippians 4 is it says, the Lord is at hand. And so if the Lord is close, then faith can say, you know what? Yeah, I see the imminent event, but I can say at the same time that good is ahead because I know God is ahead. I know that he's with me, and I know that he's at work in the middle of this. I think one of the most ridiculous examples of this in the scriptures is in Acts chapter 20, and this is Paul, talking about Paul. He says, except that the Holy Spirit testifies to me that in every city, imprisonment and afflictions await me. Let's just hang on real quick what he just said. He just said, everywhere I go, the Holy Spirit's revealed to me that every city I walk into will end with me being imprisoned and me being afflicted. That's an imminent event. There is no, I wonder what's going to happen in this city, right? No, that's it. That's what's going to happen. You're going to be imprisoned and you're going to be afflicted. But then Paul goes on, he says, but I do not account my life of any value, nor is precious to myself, if only I may finish my course in the ministry that I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. One of the things you see here in Paul is that he's got an imminent event where sight would tell him, this is terrible, this is going to end really poorly for you, this is bad, this is not good. And what Paul is saying is, yeah, but it doesn't matter because, like, God's with me and God's at work. And so that's walking by faith. So when you look ahead at that imminent event, when you look ahead at that thing that's causing you anxiety, the place you don't want to go, the thing that you don't want to do, the person that you don't want to see, are you looking by your sight? Are you looking by faith? Because what faith again sees is faith sees that the Lord is at hand. The faith sees that God is with me and God is at work. And so there's no reason to be anxious. There's no reason to be overwhelmed. There's no reason to be upset. There's every reason to be at peace because he's with us. So God's presence is the answer for anxiety because of an imminent event, but also because of something with an uncertain outcome. Remember the definition. That was the other thing that causes us anxiety, is things that have an uncertain outcome. And I think that's where most of our anxiety comes from, is when we don't know what's going to happen, right? And so anytime I go somewhere new, I get anxiety because I don't want to do things wrong. Like, I don't want to embarrass myself. And you might go, well, You do it every single Sunday. Thank you. But like, I don't want to do that regularly, right? And I've told you before, I'm a rule follower. That's just the way I am. Like, that's just the way I've been made. I told you about the time I went to breakfast with Pastor Mike and we walked up. There was no one in line. And I walked through the little like people mover anyway. Like, I went all the way through the line, like all, because I will every time. I will follow the rules. Like, that's just the way it is, right? And so like, I get really anxious when I go to new places because it's uncertain. I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing. And so has anybody ever done the oil change places where you pull up and you never get out of your car? I'll never do that again. So I pulled up and I didn't know. And like, another thing is I don't hear so well. And so I have the hum of the car and I have everything else going around. I'm trying to listen to what they're saying to me. And he's telling me to pull up, but he doesn't really want to be there either. So he's not paying attention. So he's looking this way and doing this, which I've never asked a car to come directly at me. But if I'm going to do that, I'm going to probably look at it. And so he's putting a lot of trust in me, a complete stranger. And he's asking me to come towards him. So I don't know if I'm pulled up far enough. And then like, I stop and then he turns around and he looks at me and he goes, "Pull up." And I was like, "Not a problem, sir," right? And like, I got to pull up more. And then he brings over an air filter and he's like, "This is dirty. We need to change it. It's going to cost you money." And I was like, "Yeah, it sure is." And so like, I didn't like the experience. And I just get anxious. Like, we get our cars washed at the full service car wash thing that's over here. And so this is not a joke. The first time I went through, I bought the little package where they also vacuum out the inside. This is so embarrassing. I pull through, I get the outside washed. And when you pull through, what they do is then they like kind of wipe down your windshield. They look at the receipt that you put on your dash. And if it says interior vacuum, then they wave you on to pull around. And then you get out and they like vacuum your car. I started to pull around and I saw all the people lined up. And I saw like there were some people were inside, some people were outside, some people were still standing next to their car. And I was like, "This is too much." And they start waving me towards, and I was just like, "Nope." And I just pulled right out. I pulled right out onto the street. And I was like, "I'll vacuum it myself, no problem, accept my donation," right? Like, and I have never done it since. Like, I've never gotten them to do it. It's just too much, right? And that's where I think a lot of our anxiety comes is anxiety is stirred up by uncertain outcomes. Like, anxiety is stirred up by uncertain outcomes. You don't know what's going to happen when you go into that meeting with your boss. You don't know what's going to happen when you have that medical test run. Like, you don't know what's going to happen when you take that risk, when you have that conversation. And so anxiety gets stirred up by the uncertain outcomes. But peace settles with a certain presence of God. Remember what the scripture says. It says, "The Lord is at hand." You know that he's with you. You don't know what's going to happen next, but you know that he's with you. And so Hebrews 13:5 says, "For he said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you." Romans 8:38 through 39 tells us that nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Like, you don't know what tomorrow holds, but you know that he will be with you. You don't know what's going to happen at the end of that meeting, but you know that he's sitting in the meeting with you, and you know that he'll walk out of that meeting with you, and you know that he'll be with you, whatever that diagnosis is, right? And so again, anxiety is stirred up by our uncertain outcomes, but peace settles with the certain presence of God. He's with us. If you guys have never heard of or met Pastor Dave, he's at our Orlando campus. He's an amazing, amazing guy. Pastor Dave is blind in one eye. And recently we were talking, he's having some issues with his other eye now. And he told me, he said, "You know, I was blind once for like a few months." And I was like, "Is it something you just try out? How does that work? Do you wear a patch? Like, what happened?" And he said that he was out of town and he was bending over to tie his shoes. He tied his shoe and he came up and his vision in his one eye was gone. Like, his one good eye was completely gone. And so what happened was a hemorrhage occurred. So a blood vessel burst in his eye and his eye filled with blood. And so he could no longer see. And so it's a crazy story. Like, I mean, he's out of town. Could you imagine? Like, I don't even know how you begin to do that. So he was like, "Thank God for Siri," which I've never heard that statement before. But he's like, "Hey, Siri, call my doctor." And she was like, "You want to order movie tickets?" And he's like, "No, Siri, call my doctor." But anyway, so he got it all figured out. And he goes to the doctor, and the doctor's like, "Look, there's a drain in your eye, and your eye has to absorb that blood back, and it will naturally fill itself back with the right amount of fluid in your eye. We can't just drain it, so it's going to take months." Could you imagine going to the doctor, and the doctor's like, "Hey, by the way, you're going to be blind for a few months, and also when it's over, when it all clears, like, I don't know, your vision might be like it was before, it might be worse, we're not really sure. I can't imagine how much anxiety that would stir up in me to have a doctor say that to me. Like, we don't know what's going to happen. We don't know if you'll see again. We don't know what your sight will be like. And so he waited for months and months and months. I don't know what you would do in that situation. I would think, like, one of the things that happens to me, everyone responds to anxiety differently. I don't know what your response is. Mine is it shuts me down. It paralyzes me. Like, when I'm overwhelmed by something, like, I just completely shut down. Like, I want to go sleep, right? Like, I want to go nap. I want to go get away from things. Like, I want to go, I don't want to turn any lights on. I just kind of sit there. I just power down. And I was just thinking, like, that's exactly what my response would be, I think. Like, I would be so overwhelmed with the anxiety, with the uncertainty of what was to come, that it would just, like, shut me down. And I said, Pastor Dave, what did you do? What did you do for those few months? And he said, I kept my appointments. He's a counselor. He said, I met with people and I kept my appointments. And I said, how? How did you have the motivation to do that? To go in there and sit down, listen to other people's problems. I would be the worst blind counselor. You know what I mean? Like, they'd be talking about you. Well, my wife said to me, I'm like, oh yeah? Well, I'm blind. You know what I mean? Like, I would never, it would never work, right? And so, like, I said, how in the world did you sit there and encourage other people in the Lord when you got that going on? And he said, what do you mean? He said, just because I was blind, it didn't mean God wasn't still with me. It didn't mean that God still didn't have work for me to do. It didn't mean that God had stopped working in my life. He said, I wanted to see what God was up to. And I was like, that is unbelievable. But he was just saying what Paul said. Like, anxiety stirs up our uncertain outcomes, but what our peace settles with the certain presence of God. He was just saying that over and over again. He was letting us know, right? He was letting us know that the Lord is at hand. I don't have to be worried about this. I don't have to be anxious about this. I don't know how it's going to turn out. But I do know that he's with me, and I do know that he's at work. And so what situation in your life at this moment is uncertain? You do not know how it's going to turn out. Well, listen, I can't tell you how it's going to turn out, but what I can tell you on the authority of the scriptures is that the Lord is at hand. If you're a follower of Jesus, the Lord is at hand. He's standing with you, and he will keep standing with you throughout the entire process. Let's go back to verse 6. Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer. So there's some sort of instruction here. By prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So let's look at, there's a couple words that are kind of weird. So here we go. We got supplication, which is simply ask, right? And we see the definition of supplication is here. Let your requests be made known to God. It's asking God, right? So that's supplication. But then he tells us, don't forget to include thanksgiving. So you ask, but also give thanks at the same time. Like, don't just ask him for more without stopping and thanking him for what he's provided for you. Yesterday, I had to go to Target. I went to Target to pick something up, and one of my kids, my boy Jude, I've told you before, he's nosy. He's a nosy kid, and he's always following us around. So literally, I got to the laundry room, like, put my hand on the doorknob, and then he's like right here, and he's just like, "Where are you going?" And I was like, right? Like, but I was like, I'm going to Target, but I don't want to bring all of you. And then he goes, can I go? And I was like, if you can keep your mouth shut, right? Like, we got to get out of this house right now. And so we snuck out. And so it's just me and Jude going to Target. And so he was doing the thing that all kids do. Like, in the car, they're like, if I find something under $10, can I get it? And I was like, no. Under $7, can I get it? No. Under $5? Sure. If you find something under $5, you can absolutely get it, right? Just put it in your pocket. They'll never check you. You go right out the door. But anyway, so he looks around, he finds something for $5, like a little Pokemon card set or whatever. And so we get home, and what's the first thing he does? Finds his older brother and shows it to him. Like, the first thing he does. He immediately finds Max, and he's like, check this out. I got these Pokemon cards. Yeah, right? And so Max flips out, and he comes in, and he's like, why did he get Pokemon cards? And I was like, because he's super nosy, man. And, like, he wouldn't leave me alone. He got in the car. I didn't even want him to get in the car. But he got in the car. He was with me. So he got it, man. I don't know what to tell you. And he's like, why didn't you get me anything? I was like, because you weren't with me, man. Like, you weren't with me. And that's just how it works. And he goes, that's so unfair. You never get me anything. And then at that point, the wrath of God filled me. And I was like, I never get you anything? Are you out of your mind? What are you doing right now? You're playing on a PlayStation? Did you work all summer and save your money and buy that? No, I bought that thing, right? What are you talking about, right? I just bought you something stupid on Fortnite like 2 days ago. We went to Epcot the other night and I bought you ice cream that you only half ate and then dropped on the ground, right? Like, what are you talking about? I never buy you anything. And then when I told him all that, he went, oh, yeah, you're right. And then he went back to play Fortnite. Like, he just calmed down. And the thing is, like, I think I do the same thing with God all the time. Like, you never give me what I need, right? Like, I'm nervous and I want this to go away, or I want the situation to change. Like, you never give me what I need. And he's sitting there going, well, I never give you what you need. And that's what Thanksgiving does for us. It gives us this opportunity to slow ourselves down and to remind ourselves just how good he is at providing for us. Have you ever done that? Have you ever stopped and you've given thanks and then you never got to asking him for anything? Because you realize, like, he's just a really good provider. He's going to give us exactly what we need. You know what I mean? Like, have you ever gotten to that place? And I think that's what this is telling us to do. I used to tell, when I did student ministry in Tennessee, we talk about this verse. I'd always tell the students, focus on the donut, not the hole. Like, that's what Thanksgiving does, right? Not focusing on what we don't have, but focusing on what God has given us and how he's a great provider. But then when we look at this, this looks like a formula for peace. Like, prayer, supplication, like ask him for stuff, give thanks for stuff, and then it tells us the peace of God will guard your hearts. Like, this looks like a formula for peace. And the reality is, no, it's not. There is no formula for peace. There is no connect this to this and do this and turn this dial and then bam, you've got it. You've got peace. There is no formula for that. And so, but we skipped a word here to kind of explain how does this connect? This isn't a formula. How does this connect? We skipped a word, and that word is prayer right there. But in everything, by prayer. And prayer is not just about asking. It's not just about giving thanks. Prayer instead is about connecting and abiding. There's this verse in Mark 1 I want to share with you about Jesus praying. And check out the way he prayed. And rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he departed and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed. We see Jesus, like, just getting away from everything. Jesus took time to get away from other people, to get away from the situations that he had to deal with, to get away from everything else, and just to connect with God, to pause, to listen, and connect with God. And Paul is saying, do you want peace? Then in everything, be sure to pause and listen and connect with God. Why? Because as we've already said, God himself is the remedy for our anxiety. God himself. If you want that peace, what Paul says is in everything by prayer. In everything, make sure that you pause and listen and connect with God, because God himself is the remedy for our anxiety. There is no formula for peace, but there is a remedy for anxiety, and that is God himself. That is being connected to him, to him ourselves. And so let me ask you this big question. In our fast-paced, overcommitted, hyper-connected world, do you pause and listen and connect with God? Because this is our world, right? It is fast-paced, overcommitted, hyper-connected world. Do you pause, listen, and connect with God? If you're willing to, if it's easy for you to do, would you pull your phone out real quick? And I want you to do something. If you manage your calendar on your phone, if you use like a planner like my wife does, I just want to remind you, it's 2019. So anyway, like, if you open your calendar and just do this, because I don't think we do this very often. I don't think we do it very often. When the week passes, do you go back and look at your calendar and see how it turned out? We don't do that very often, right? Because it's behind us. Like, let's keep moving forward. But right now, like, as you look at your calendar, as you pull it up and you're kind of going through your week, I want you to look at how busy it was. And I want you to see something. I want you to ask yourself a question, like, did you, like, in that week, is there any room for you to pause and listen and connect with God? Because if we're going to do this, and we have to create something in those calendars, and that is margin. We have to create margin. We have to create breathing room in our schedules. We have to create breathing room in our schedules. And when I look at my schedule, I got to be honest. A lot of times there is no margin. There's an appointment after an appointment, and then there's a lunch meeting, and then after that lunch meeting, I've got to pick up the kids here, and then I got to do this, and we've got to do that, and then I'm just so tired at the end of the day. Sometimes I say hello to my wife, and then we go to sleep, right? Like, that's my schedule. And so if we are going to do this, if in our fast-paced, in our overcommitted, hyper-connected world, if we're going to stop and pause and listen and connect with God, we've got to create margin in our schedule. And so if you're looking at your calendar and you're saying there isn't margin there, then let me ask you another question. If there isn't margin in your schedule, how are you pausing, listening, and connecting with God? Where's your peace? My guess is it's not there. And I don't say this, by the way, I don't say this as somebody like standing over you going, I've got this all figured out. I have so much margin in my life. You know what I mean? Like I've got it all figured out. I've got a great work-life balance. I got to be honest, I don't. This is a real struggle for me. And I think more than ever, like this message is really way more for me than it is for anyone else in the room. This past week, I just got to be transparent with you. I hit a wall like early in the week. And my wife asked me every day. She asked me Monday, are you okay? I was like, yeah, I'm fine. On Tuesday, are you okay? Yeah, I'm fine. On Wednesday, are you okay? And I went, yeah, maybe I'm not. And what I realized, I literally Googled like signs of depression. Like I slept all the time. I didn't want to do anything. I was not motivated. Like my thoughts were just fuzzy and unfocused. And what I think I realized is that I think I was just like burned out. I think the reason why is I went back and I did look at my calendar and I did look at my schedule. What I just asked you to do, I did. And as I looked at it, I had no margin. There was no breathing room. It was appointment after appointment. It was this after that. It was family after this and blah, 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 like on and on and on and on. And so not only had I not really connected with my wife well and I hadn't connected with my family well, but I hadn't created any margin in my schedule to pause and listen and connect with God. I did a lot for God. I worked a lot for God, but I didn't create margin to connect with him. And you know where my peace was? Gone. Like this week, it was just anxiety, and it was just worry, and it was just dread, and it left me paralyzed. And what God was saying all along was like, you need to pause, and you need to listen, and you need to connect with me. The story that comes to my mind, and one of the ways God spoke to me this week is here. In Luke 10. So Jesus is hanging out at Mary and Martha's house, and they show up, and he brings his disciples. Everywhere he goes, he's got an entourage, right? And so Martha immediately gets to work. I've got to cook. I've got to do. I've got to work for Jesus. Does that sound familiar? I've got to do. And Mary doesn't. Mary sits down at the feet of Jesus and just hangs out and just listens to him teach. And Martha is furious. And she's like, Jesus, do you see my lazy sister here, right? Like, would you tell her to get up off her butt and come help me over here? And Jesus says, Martha, Martha, you're worried and upset about many things. Does that sound familiar to you? You're worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed, only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. I think about, like, I wonder if he's saying the same thing to anybody in the room today. I know he is to me. Grant, you are worried and upset about many things. And there's really only one thing that matters. As you stop and pause and listen and connect with me. And I wonder if he's saying the same thing to you. You are worried and upset about so many things. There's only one thing that matters. That you would pause and listen and connect with me. My guess is, in our fast-paced, overcommitted, hyper-connected world, that a lot of us in here are overextended. A lot of us in here don't have peace in our lives. Because a lot of us in here, we don't have margin. We haven't made that space to connect with God. And so I would like us to close by with a time of prayer, with a time of pausing. And maybe it's the first time you paused all week. Like this past week has been a whirlwind. But I want us to close and pause because I want us to follow the wisdom of God we've seen in Philippians 4. And let me read that verse to us one more time, our passage to us one more time. Let me read a little bit differently for us, and we'll close the time of prayer. He says, the Lord is close, so don't be anxious about the imminent events, the things you dread, or the uncertain things, the uncertain outcomes you have no control over. Instead, pause, listen, and connect with God. Tell him what you think you need. Thank him for everything, and you will be at peace in your heart and in your mind. Would you pray with me? Let's just bow our head and close our eyes now, and let's just pause. Let this be a time of pausing and listening and connecting. There's no rush. We have no rush right now. We're not trying to get to, we got to do a song or we got to do offering. No, no, no. All of that will come. There's no rush right now. So are you feeling anxious? Maybe it's because you're overcommitted. You're just hyper-connected and you're just running yourselves ragged. And there's no margin in your life. can fix that this week. You can make changes to your calendar. You can make it a priority to pause and listen and connect with God. But I'm not even thinking about that. You can do that when you leave here. But don't even worry about that right now. Pause right now. Take a breath right now. You know that God's in this room. You know the Lord is at hand. So I'm going to give you a few moments. Just talk to Him. Maybe you don't want to say a word. Maybe you just want to sit there. You say, God, I'm here and you're here and that's enough. And maybe you need to confess some of that anxiety and like let go of it. I don't know. I'm going to be quiet. I'm going to let us be quiet before God right now. Faith and not by sight.